This is North Shore Today for Tuesday. Hi, everyone. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Great to have you with us. And here we are on Thanksgiving week, inching closer and closer to the big holiday. And for us here at MSO News Sports, we've got Thanksgiving football coming up, beginning Wednesday night with St. Mary's Fenwick at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, some traditional games, the Gloucester-Danvers game with a live streaming video at 10 on Thanksgiving morning. We've got the Lynn English-Lynn Classical game with live radio coverage at 10 on Thanksgiving morning. And Marty Smith will have live updated reports for us on Channel B. That's where the English Classical game will be. And he will be reporting from the Beverly-Salem game on Thanksgiving Day. And, of course, we'll keep you posted with the website throughout the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Yeah, nice to see the little bit of nostalgia yesterday, Bill, with Coach Perrone. Was that a recent picture of Coach Perrone? Did you take that yesterday?
That was a picture taken yesterday, absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. The guy just is, oh my goodness, he's found the fountain of youth. He's hasn't, you know, the hair color's changed. That's the only thing that's different. But, no, good, really cool to have his post up there, and we talked to, you know, Coach Hamer last night. And the I didn't realize, but Bill Hamer was telling me, and I don't know why I didn't know this, but I didn't. One of the reasons the Beverly-Salem rivalry was so intense and so community-oriented was that so many people from Salem and Beverly worked side by side at the old United Shoe. And as anybody who knows who's ever visited the place over there, what's it called now, the Cummings Center?
Right.
If you've ever visited over there, the place is gigantic. So all the Beverly and Salem people work side by side, and that's one of the reasons that the Thanksgiving Day game was so much fun for so many people in both communities.
Right, you got to think of the historical piece to that as well. That's a great point, and I had actually not thought of that piece, but the Shoe was a big part of Beverly, and I remember when I came to the area, I think it was coming down at that point. You know, as in Coming, not as in coming
right.
Center down, but it was coming down at that time, and so on, but. But you're right. If you go back into the Cummings Center and some of those buildings, and it is massive back there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gigantic. It just covers so much area, and the buildings are huge.
Well, you know, so what I was sharing with Coach Perrone, and that post is up there, and we'll try to combine something with Bill Hamer as well. But Bill was on with you, Rick, last night on North Shore Sports Night, so that interview is available. But it was because of these two coaches, Bill Hamer of Beverly, Ken Perrone of Salem, that Beverly-Salem game was the biggest game on the North Shore for many, many years, drew the biggest crowds, consistently had the best teams. And again, I'm not saying that they were the best teams across the North Shore every single year, but for the most part, it was an evenly matched game, and there were upsets, you know, left and right in that contest. And the crowds were big, and there was a lot of energy. And what's interesting is that the two coaches each won six games in that Thanksgiving rivalry series. And they didn't play each other back in those days. They didn't play each other in a playoff game in the middle of the year or towards the end of the year. They played them once a year, and that was on Thanksgiving, and that was the special game.
Yeah, Coach Hamer said he saw Coach Perrone either last year or the year before at Thanksgiving, and they sat side by side, and he said the problem was so many people kept coming up to them, they couldn't even see the game. You know, kids from both, or former students from both sides, you know, from Beverly and Salem, talking to both coaches. So, you know, it's a cool thing, and it really is a fun way to start the holidays, I think.
Yeah, Ken's 80 years old now, still goes out and golfs 3 days a week, you know, something like that. And so he's still very active, And you know, it's all in the interview, but he does have a lot of stories. In that interview, by the way, we also talk about today, Ken and his wife, Cindy, are actually going to be up in Gloucester, where you'll be on Thanksgiving Day, because of a story, and I'd rather have him tell the story, but you can click on the interview. But I thought it's a pretty powerful story. One of their neighbors, the Lynches, Danny Lynch, who plays football for Danvers High School, his father passed away this year, and Danny has other siblings as well, but the dad was much loved in the neighborhood, and Danny is, I guess, a great kid, and so they wanted to be at all of his games. So they've been at all of his games. So on Thanksgiving, they're going to be with him up in Gloucester for the Gloucester-Danvers game. So that'll be the first time in something like 42 years that he's missed the Salem-Beverly game. But I think it's worth mentioning that piece, and for the Lynch family, which I really was not aware of that piece. If I was, I clearly had forgotten, I don't think I was aware of it, but we send our thoughts with them on this Thanksgiving and holiday time.
Absolutely. And I do have a link, Bill, on North Shore Sports Night. The post there, we do link right to the directly to your interview with Coach Perrone. So you can get there. If you don't go to the post, you go to our post first. But it's all up there and very easily navigated.
Well, all right, let's talk about some of the news of the day. We'll get some sports stories here as well. We also have Kate Fox with us from Destination Salem. Should have mentioned that earlier, but it's on the post. But Kate Fox will be with us in a few minutes as well. Yesterday, we did a story. We posted a story on the Lynn, which is they're doing a thing called on economic development for the city of Lynn. And yesterday in Lynn, and the Lynn City Hall steps, they had the Congressman Seth Moulton there, Governor Charlie Baker, Mayor Judith Flanagan Kennedy was there from the city of Lynn, as well as a host of other elected officials and other folks, business leaders and so on. And so they're talking about a new kind of a partnership to work on economic development, and Lynn being kind of the gateway to the Essex County or the North Shore and one of the state's gateway cities. And those are kind of the old industrial cities, such as, I think, Lowell's a gateway city, Lawrence, I believe. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm not saying I'm right, but Lawrence is, those are gateway cities. And so they, and Salem, I believe, is a gateway city as well. So so anyway, they're working on this development piece. We have the whole ceremony on our post on the website, which is now further down the website, but you can listen to the whole thing. It's about a 30-minute ceremony on the steps of Lynn City Hall. There are also some pictures there and some other interviews with other leaders on the North Shore. But I just wanted to share that with the folks. That's a story that I think is that I think we'll be following probably in the months ahead.
Yeah, and in the Gloucester Times, Bill, just one story I think of note today, and that is Gloucester is looking for almost $500,000 in back taxes by various property owners. And according to Ray Lamont, the city's treasurer's office has listed more than 150 property owners who owe anywhere from $95.23 to $20 in unpaid taxes from
Rick, let me just, can I stop you for a second? When you gave the higher number, you broke up. So we had the low of $95, and what was the highest number?
$29,708, almost
$30,000. Yep.
All right, so, and just, the city treasurer in Gloucester said that the postings set the stage for the city to enter to process for taking the properties by non-payment for by December 10. And Gloucester right now has some properties that it can't do anything with, so I don't know what it's going to do with more properties. But there you go, $500,000 owed in back taxes. That's what we need, more unclaimed properties.
Yeah, unclaimed properties and so how, you know, I know it's I'm springing, but I'm wondering how much cities and towns, and it probably varies between cities, among cities and towns, how much of unpaid taxes they have and what the impact of that is. You know what I'm saying? I really don't have an idea on that piece, because you kind of hear about it in more of a individual mode. There are like the boss. If you read the Boston Business Journal, there are people have liens put on them. You read the notes in some of these different publications, tax liens, which are probably indications that people are not paying their taxes in businesses or whatever, and so landlords or you know you name it, but you know, I don't know what that accumulative factor could be for some cities and towns. I would imagine it's a pretty big ticket for some cities, unpaid taxes, and then there's the process, as you're pointing out, Rick, of what do you do with those properties that are not paying taxes?
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, for a lot of it, it's just chump change. I mean, it's just nickels and dimes. You know, $95. Come on, and most of the back taxes are small bills. It's just one that's a big one, that $30,000 one, but it adds up to $450,000. And I think in a city the size of Gloucester, that's pretty significant.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you do have that number, $450,000. Yeah. All right. Hey, here's a story that we retweeted yesterday on our. On our Twitter feed, because in this climate that we're in the country and in the world, as a matter of fact, this is a story. I'll just read the first little bit of it, but we can just talk about it very briefly here. But it's from the State House News Service, which is Andy Metzger and Colin Young in today's Daily Item of Lynn. And basically it says, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict surfaced Monday as a central theme in two protests, one speaking out against an ad on the MBTA that some say is designed to demonize Israelis and Jews, and another urging senators to forego a planned trip to Israel next month. After opposing viewpoints on the world of the world's most contentious conflicts came to a head before the MBTA's management board on Monday afternoon, the T decided to ban political issue advertising on the transit system. And the T's Fiscal and Management Control Board also banned the advertising for electronic cigarettes. All right. To me, if I'm the T, you know, it's too bad we can't use some common sense in some of this stuff, in that some issue advertising is probably okay. It's not personal. It doesn't go after someone's religious beliefs, personal beliefs. But some of this other stuff apparently, you know, clearly does. And basically it was creating the tweet that we retweeted was testimony yesterday in the State House about a person feeling that it was created an unsafe environment on the T, which I fully agree with. I mean, if you're having anti-Israeli ads or conversely, the other ads on the T would be it would create an unsafe situation. However, if you had a political ad on voting on a Proposition 1 or 2 or whatever, you know, or voting for a particular candidate, you know, I don't really see a problem with that necessarily. But maybe I'm missing something. So, and a source of revenue for the T, and it clearly needs sources of revenue. But again, I don't know how much they get from political ads.
What kind of an ad would that be? What was the source?
I would think it'd be some kind of ad you put if you're sitting in the T, you're sitting on the train, and you look up and you see these ads up on the wall of the
right.
train.
But I wonder what was controversial, what was being promoted or demonized or whatever. You know what I mean? In what context was it? What, you know, who, I don't understand who would do that. What would you do? Say, okay, we want, you know, some kind of a political ad saying we want the West Bank or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the content of it, but there was probably a Palestinian group or something along those lines. Yeah, I'm just kind of skimming it right now, but I don't really know. So I guess the current guidelines.
Well, we can check it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, that's a lot of tough questions, Rick. Come on.
No, I thought about that yesterday. I'm thinking, well, what the bozo? What the heck? Yeah, and you know what? Talking about taking responsibility, Bill, I was glad to see CBS last week. They had a couple of episodes scheduled for a Monday night, two different shows that the storyline in fiction was about, you know, terrorism and so on. And that was in the wake of that weekend's Paris terrorism. And they pulled up both of those shows, CBS did, and put alternate programming in there. So it was nice to see that, as you say, common sense and someone taking, you know, some civic responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rare. That's rare these days. You're right. No, I remember I heard that story, too. That's worth pointing out. Here's one more, and then we have Kate Fox coming up from Destination Salem here. But there's probably second only to Thanksgiving, and probably Thanksgiving comes second to people talking about Black Friday, or certainly advertisers talking about Black Friday. And there's a story in today's Wall Street Journal about it's called The Tricky Math of Black Friday Bargains. And I won't go into it. I did read it quickly this morning. But basically, they're talking about how the deals are a little bit tricky, and it's a little bit hard to figure out what a real price is for something or what the list price is for something. And they cite one stat here, and I think, let me see if I can find it here. But basically it said that Amazon, for example, if they took up, there was a, oh, here it is. Amazon changed prices on 666, or rather changed prices 666 times on 180 popular products sold from November 1 to November 19. So there's 19 days where out of these 180 products, the prices, there were price changes 666 times. So that means that probably out of those 180 products, the prices changed like maybe what, four times or three times of those products, if they all changed at that time. So now I'm not a big Black Friday shopper, but I do know that it's everywhere saturated on the airwaves where and people will line up to go to stores on that Friday. And hopefully, you know, what's really nice this year is a lot of stores in Massachusetts have said no to Thanksgiving, which is nice. We should make a list of those, Rick, so we can hand those out to folks, because that's I think that's a great thing to not be open on Thanksgiving. But anyways, be wary of these Black Friday deals, and it's the pricing is, I guess, is you really kind of have to shop around. I guess it just kind of speaks to that point, and the ads are a little bit tricky as to percentages off, and I guess they combine percentages off and different things. So again, I just kind of skimmed it, but the fact is that the prices are changing and are very fluid and fluctuate. So I guess you kind of have to know what you're doing, but enjoy the holiday.
Well, I think you should be wary anytime there's a number 666 involved. But the second thing is, I read that quite some time ago about Amazon. That's a frequent practice by Amazon. They will jack the prices up and down from day to day. So the best thing to do with Amazon, really, at any time of year, they do offer some pretty good bargains. But, you know, check the prices from day to day and make note of them on whatever it is you're looking for. And if you've got something in a wish list, for example, you know, you can put it in there, and if it's a price you want, you probably ought to get it, because, you know, you have it in your wish list, you go back the next day, the price is going to have changed.
Okay. I do know if you go on Amazon, though, there you can see the same item listed at a couple of different prices, right?
Once
in a while.
But you can't, yeah. The thing is, you can't lock a price in if you have it in that wish list.
Right. That makes sense. But I guess, I mean, if you have these multiple prices, I hadn't really thought of it this way either. It's like you have these different prices for the same item, and some of them have free shipping, some of them don't. But on the other hand, you would always pick the lowest one opposed to the third one down or whatever that is the highest one, I suppose. But you would think.
Yeah,
but I mean, I don't know whether they're talking about some of these secondary prices, the second or third listing price changes or whatever, but whatever. One of the top items, Rick, you and I have talked about this, but Apple, for example, those prices don't really fluctuate from store to product from month to month. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I think there are two companies in the country that are extremely proprietary to the ultimate degree, and that would be Disney and Apple. They just do not change. I mean, Disney, you can find knockoffs. But Disney prices are pretty consistent, and Apple prices are rock solid consistent everywhere.
All right, we've got Kate Fox coming up here on the program from Destination Salem. I think in tomorrow's program we'll hear from Steve Krause, the news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn. And again, our football broadcasts are coming up Wednesday night, Fenwick and St. Mary's, and on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, English Classical, Gloucester, Danvers, and reports on the Beverly-Salem game. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.
At the office of Destination Salem with Executive Director Kate Fox. And Kate, thank you for letting me back in here. It is, I was going to say we're between seasons, but we're not. It's actually the holiday season already.
It is. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Let's start with Thanksgiving week in Salem. I noticed online, and I don't know where I saw it, it might have been even in the paper, something about instead of haunted happenings, it's called holiday happenings. And is there a background to that? Has that been around for a while?
It has, and I don't think we should examine it any further than to say somebody said Salem haunted happenings, Salem holiday happenings. Let's just make the leap and celebrate December and pull it all together under one umbrella. So we do exactly that, and mm-hmm. it actually started the weekend before Thanksgiving this year with the winter market, the farmers market, and goes until January 1st when the Frosty Four road race takes to the streets of Salem.
How do you have a farmer's market this time of year? What does that involve?
Well, it's a winter market with farms as well as crafters. So there's another one in December before the Christmas holiday. And so you can get gourds and your pumpkins and your winter squash, as well as wreaths and tree trimming, and then some gifts as well. There's usually a soup maker there and some cheese and pasta. So a nice mix of products for you to shop for in the winter.
I haven't had breakfast yet, so you're killing me here. And squash is just a funny name. I always laugh when I hear squash. But this week, Thanksgiving, the restaurants, I know that in some places... you know what I wanted to ask you? Is there... in Gloucester, they have something called the Open Door, and it's like a soup kitchen type thing, but they give away meals and stuff like that. Is there such a place in Salem where people who are struggling can get some help this Thanksgiving?
You know, there have been restaurants in the past that have done that, and I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know for certain who's doing it, if anyone, this year, but I'll find out for you.
Okay. And let's check out the what is going on, anything special with regard to Thanksgiving, and then we'll get into the weekend activities.
So Thanksgiving, there are some restaurants. The Hawthorne Hotel every year does their Thanksgiving dinner. Some other restaurants are hosting Thanksgiving dinner as well. But the big story in Salem is always Santa's arrival on top of the Hawthorne Hotel the day after Thanksgiving in the evening. And that's a partnership with the Salem Fire Department to get him down once he lands his sleigh to the gleeful children below. And then they'll go down to Lappin Park for the tree lighting after that.
Gleeful children. All right. Now, what about December? What activities are scheduled for the month of December? And then you can tell me about that Frosty Four or whatever.
Well, the we also have one of the largest road races north of Boston in the Wild Turkey 5 Mile on Thanksgiving morning. So if anybody wants to get up and do that race at 8 a.m., that is still taking registration.
Okay. Where's that start from?
It is on the Common over, I think, at the Knights of Columbus.
Okay.
And they just switched locations. All of the information is on salem.org, so if I'm wrong, please double-check me for accuracy.
We didn't plan this. I didn't give you any prep time. I'm sorry.
Well, and it used to always be at the Boys and Girls Club, but the Boys and Girls Club moved anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's also a 5K, the Festivus 5K in the middle of December to benefit autism awareness.
Oh, cool.
So lots of road races. The running season is never over in Salem. Mm-hmm. But the big story is always Christmas in Salem, which is the private homes decorated for the holidays, open to the public the weekend of December 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Now what's that mean? What's that like?
Historic Salem does this as their annual. It's a huge fundraiser for them, and ticket holders can go into private homes. This year the theme is the 12 Days of Christmas, so they're in the McIntyre District, so it's a rare opportunity to get inside and see how everybody's living on Chestnut Street.
Oh, okay.
The houses are always beautiful. It's a great take.
Is there a public Christmas tree?
Lappin Park by the Samantha statue near Gula Gula, the corner of Essex and Washington Street, is where our big tree is, and there's usually a tree on the Common as well. And the wreaths are up, the lights are up, the red ribbons are up, so we're ready.
Okay. And what about any special, what is it, first day activities or January 1 activities?
So we do New Year's Eve. Salem Main Streets organizes Launch, which is our New Year's Eve family-friendly celebration, and they actually do the balloon drop early at 7:30 p.m., but there's live music, there's crafting, New Year's resolution making, and that's all held at Old Town Hall. Mm-hmm. And again, salem.org for links and information.
Right. Thanksgiving, who does the cooking in your family?
I do.
Who does the dishes?
Well, I'm going to say my kids are going to do it this year because they're old enough now.
All right. Kate, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Kate Fox, Destination Salem.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, welcome back to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell. It's Tuesday. Note out of local sports is that Colleen Newbury, who is the softball coach at St. Mary's High School, is leaving that school after 15 years. She's going to be taking over as the Danvers softball coach. So congratulations to Colleen Newbury, and very successful at St. Mary's. And I guess she works right down the street from Danvers High, from Danvers, and so on. And family, you know, a little closer to Danvers High School. So she leaves St. Mary's and goes on to Danvers High School. So good luck to her as the new softball coach at Danvers High School. Again, our football broadcast this week, we've got the live streaming video of the Gloucester-Danvers game. It'll be interesting to see how Danvers reacts to having lost that playoff game to Melrose last Friday night in a game that we did here on MSO News Sports. And then we've got English Classical. And did I mention St. Mary's Fenwick Wednesday night? Well, now I am. And also reports on the Beverly-Salem game. The other thing, too, Rick, just looking ahead, we've got interviews coming up. We got a lot of exclusive interviews with coaches and some players. Dan Bauer, Beverly coach, we've got interview with him. Tim Kearns talked with him. We've got the Lynn coaches coming up. We'll post those interviews as well as probably Tony Zarelli, right, from Gloucester High School or whatever. Again, we have the live streaming video on that game.
Well, I hope to get Coach Zarelli and Coach Sean Terrio of Danvers and both teams' captains today. Keep our fingers crossed.
All right, and let's think here. Anything else, Rick, that we should be mentioning here? As we head towards the Thanksgiving holiday?
No, I just think that all the interviews that are up there, Bill, are very timely, and I hope people take the time to look at them. Numbers are growing. We seem to be getting a new audience finally with our new website, and it's very, as I said before, you can navigate it very easily. The videos, in many cases, are exclusive, Bill, and I think the advantage that we have that I hope people recognize, I know the people we interview do, is that we don't edit anything. We talk with people in their own voices, and you know, they get their full story out in their own voices with their own excitement and so on. And so I think that's a real advantage with the internet, and you can listen to it at any time. But I would encourage people to email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, and tell others about it, because we want this thing to grow. We want to keep this thing free. We want to keep bringing these high school events, but also news events to people as well.
Right, I can't help add to what you're saying, Rick, is that spreading the word a little bit is great, because our website's totally free. Not all websites are free. For example, Rick, you go back to last weekend, and we... you mentioned it briefly on the air the other night, but we provide live streaming video through Andrew Nicastro and Streamography for games if the MIAA will allow us. Now, last weekend, they wouldn't allow us to do a game because they were doing it, but it was a pay-per-view kind of a thing. I don't know what the fees were for that, but you need to log in, you know, probably plunk down your credit card and watch the game. It's probably not a big-ticket item. It's probably not a lot of money. I get that piece. And they did a massive amount of games last Friday and over the weekend. And then the games at the Gillette Stadium, I want to say Sullivan Stadium, oh my gosh, at the Gillette Stadium this weekend, or December 5th rather, those will be on the cable and Comcast, I guess, and also I assume on 98.5, the Sports Hub, because they have been the last several years with the association with the Crafts. And that's great, and that's fantastic, and what a flip-flop from week to week. But for some reason, this one week that goes to these guys, according to the MIAA, where you can't watch the game. There are not a lot of folks doing what we do. I get that piece. And so this organization's come in. They put together a package. So I'm not faulting the MIAA for this, but spread the word about MSO News Sports, because, again, we are free. We will be doing winter sports, and I just think that it's worth getting the word out. And we are working on that piece, so just keep getting the word out about free sports.
What keeps it free is our terrific sponsors and advertisers, local people who have great businesses, want to support what we do and keep it free. So please frequent our sponsors, our advertisers, and let them know, you know, that you do visit the website and you do listen to the games and the interviews and so on.
Gotcha. All right, there he is. That's Rick Moore. Special thanks to Kate Fox for being with us here today on the program. Again, Steve Krause should be with us tomorrow. And we do want your feedback, and please do it by sending us an email at msonewsports@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at msonewsports. We'd love to. We do retweet and tweet during the day and evening on different sporting events and news events to keep you updated on things. And again, have a very safe holiday, but we'll be back on Wednesday. And, of course, we've got the great Thanksgiving matchups as well as we've just been telling you about. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.